This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. Dave is on his way back from being on location, and welcome to Newsmakers. This is the place to be. This is the only place to be to hear talk radio about things in Salem and Kaiser, Marion and Polk County, everywhere. Our voices could be heard. Lots of things going on nationally, lots of talk on KYKN, but this noon hour, we're going to talk about things that affect us right here locally, and not just bad things, not just controversial things. Legislation having to do with the state we talk about, but also good things. We like to talk about entrepreneurism. We like to talk about people investing in our community and taking a chance with their pocketbook and their fortunes in the community. We like to talk with nonprofits and people who are building and helping people in need. This is the place for institutions, ideas, individuals, and initiatives to talk about Salem Kaiser. And today is Tuesday, and we have with us, of course, it's nice to have back in the studio, Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem, talk a little bit for a couple of segments here about what's going on at the city and so forth. So, hi, right, Chuck, welcome.
Thanks. Thank you, Brent.
Nice to have you back. I was ranting just yesterday, so I tried to pre-visit my rant. And this is a topic coming up before the city.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind, we'll just jump into it because it segues from yesterday.
Okay.
How about that? And it has to do with the library needing a temporary quarters for 2 years. Of course, we voters voted in the bond measure to retrofit the library, right?
That's correct.
So we need to do that work. We're contracting to have it done. But we need to have library programs and services located off-site for a period of about 2 years.
Right.
And so you've identified a piece of property that happens to be owned by a church, and there's the people trying to make a controversy out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what the city did was constitute a task force that worked on a location, and they spent a great deal of time reviewing all the potential locations that are available. A lot of folks think that if a building's empty, it must be available for public use, whether it's to house the homeless or place the library. In fact, that's not the case, and they ran through a whole series of buildings in town and found that the best location, and in fact it appears, we are told, the only location available, is at the old Capitol Press building, which is on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
North of downtown, in the Highland neighborhood. It's near a neighborhood. It's an easily traveled street. It has parking and is the right size. It's certainly not as big as our current library, so it won't be the full, you know, the full shebang. But it does offer a really uniquely good opportunity to locate the library. The building was purchased and is owned by a Salem Alliance Church, and there is concern among some members of the community that the city renting a church-owned property is somehow probably not appropriate. The problem is, if we don't use that property, and certainly you can debate that issue. I don't know quite how you do it, but you can debate that issue. And you can debate the belief system of the church that's involved. But in fact, what we're doing is renting a building. And it's a building that will be used by the community. It's highly accessible. And we're going to be discussing that and deciding to proceed or not proceed Monday night, this coming Monday, the July 22nd meeting. If we don't do that, what appears to be the most likely option would be books circulated out of the West Salem branch.
Oh my, that's not very big.
Well, it wouldn't have a library. What it'd be is you would have to go online or somehow reserve books, and you might be able, or movies or whatever, you'd be able to pick them up there. There doesn't appear to be a viable option, and this happens to be a very good option. So I would guess the council will proceed, although I think we'll hear testimony. Yeah, certainly in opposition. We have a staff report in full support. Our Human Rights Commission has taken a position against locating in this particular facility. So there'll be, I'm sure, a lively discussion.
Well, I may have to show up for that. I think maybe I'll send in my comment ahead of time so I don't get too hyper-emotional. But you could say it's a debate, but I guess it is. It's always a fight against ignorance and intolerance. And perhaps those in the human rights condition should take a history class about what it's like to be religiously persecuted and how our nation was founded by people who were religiously persecuted. And that to say, hey, we shouldn't rent from them because they're people of faith is like saying we shouldn't rent for them because they're black. There is no difference. It's blatant, just discrimination and prejudice and intolerance. There's no difference. That church has people of faith. So we shouldn't rent the building, and you're not going to weigh on this because you're the mayor and you have elected, so you don't have to. But that's my opinion. It's like, yeah. They're advocating for discrimination against people of faith.
Like just, I said,
that's no difference. Advocating against gay people. Yeah. Oh, well, that's owned by, you know, people who are gay. That's owned by people who are black. Therefore, city, don't do business with them.
Yeah, it'll be a lively discussion.
Cannot get past it. I would like to, and it's Newsmaker audience, this is not the last you'll hear of this topic, depending on how it goes. I would really, really love to see you know, somebody can come and file suit. Maybe the ACLU will come file suit on behalf of the faith community because the Bill of Rights does protect them. Okay, so, but let's go back to the...
But if you want to watch it on TV, it's on CCTV beginning at 6 o'clock on Monday night, and you can either...
next Monday?
This coming Monday. Yeah.
All right.
So, it'll be, I think, an interesting discussion. There'll be a lot of... I think there'll be a number of issues raised that will raise blood pressure around town, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, I hope that they make a pragmatic decision and they recognize it for what it is. It's a 2-year lease, and you have limited options. And the really question is,
question we all have is, do we have any option? And not only is this a perfect location in that it's in a neighborhood that actually had, the last time we did this, it was in the Highland neighborhood. It was over on Fairgrounds Road at a building owned by Gene Durfler. It was a furniture store over there. And it was some of the highest circulation we'd ever seen occurred as a result of it being out in those neighborhoods. There just aren't a lot of empty building options here, despite what I think people sometimes think
We're talking to Mayor Chuck spaces. Bennett of the City of Salem. And Chuck, I would love to see somebody from the library actually come on the show, not on this topic, but frankly, I'm only passingly familiar with some of the library programs, but I know that a lot of people, when you say library, think dusty stacks of books, dusty shelves of books. And our library has a lot of programs and a lot of services that most people are not familiar with. And honestly, here on Newsmakers, we'd love to spotlight them.
Yeah.
So if you can use your influence to say, hey, come in and explain to people what the library does and what services you have. I know there's reading services and youth services. And as you said, you know, there's even audiobooks you can get and things like that, right? So there's a lot of services. We'd love to have them on.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll hear from the city librarian soon after this show.
Okay. That is good to hear. So the Capitol Press building, one thing that you didn't mention, and when it talks about available real estate, folks, is that needs to be right size. You mentioned all of those things. Needs to be available, but it also has to be in a condition that'll work.
Yeah.
Right? It can't be derelict, and it has to fit within the budget.
Yeah.
And it
That's
seems like
exactly
this
right.
is checking all the boxes.
Could you
please not make a controversy where it doesn't go?
Yeah, it did check all the boxes.
All right. We got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the hearings coming up. I think you have dates for the listener to learn when they can air publicly their thoughts on the tax increases or the revenue increase bills coming up. All right, sounds
okay,
good.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, you're listening to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. Dave Bourne will be right back. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. Dave is on his way back from location in the studio with us, Chuck Bennett, the mayor of the city of Salem. We're going to move on from the Capitol Press building and that piece of real estate news and go on to talk about some of the revenue-generating ordinances that have been moved forward that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, because you'll have your opportunity to weigh in. So, Mayor, there's some hearings coming up, right?
Yes. In fact, if folks are interested in these, and that's the operating fee, which is a flat fee that will be applied to people's utility bills to support the city's general fund. And that'll be $8 to $10 a month that will be just tacked on to the utility bills. The other proposal that is moving forward is a payroll tax. It's somewhere between about a third of a percent of a person's payroll. Mm-hmm. You can take your your paycheck. Say you get $50,000 a year, it'll be about $150 a year. Those two are moving forward. A hearing and first reading on it will be, or discussion and first reading will be on August 12th. Final action on August 26th. a lot of information on it is available on the city's website, so folks can analyze its impact on them. And we'll have, again, I think, a fairly spirited discussion on that. I'm sure the members of the public and various organizations in town will come in to explain their support or opposition to it. I have a position that I want to see them go to a vote. So far, I'm not doing real well on that, but I tend to think if you're going to ask people for money, that involves the word ask, which means in the public sphere that you're going to have a vote. But so far, I'm not in the majority on that issue.
All right, so that's August 12th, folks. If you want to mark your calendar, be sure you're not adding something to your calendar while you're driving. But August 12th, you can show up and sign up at the beginning of the meeting, and you'll have a couple of minutes, three maximum, to talk about the revenue increases and those ordinances and what your take is. So
email from now till I'd do it from now till August 26th. I'd be emailing my opinion for or against, you can do that to the city council email address, which is again on the city's website.
City Council at cityofsalem.net. It's memorized.
It's us here. All. It's
gets
us all.
All of them, every councilor plus the mayor plus the city manager gets to see those.
Yeah.
Or you can look up, if you do not know who your city councilor is, you can look up and see what ward you live in. Again, for the flat fee, that's not going to affect you Kaiserites. So if you're in Kaiser, it doesn't matter. Then you're not going to get tacked with that. But if you're a Kaiserite that works and generates income and wages in the city of Salem, than the other one would.
Or if you're from Portland, or if you're from Eugene, or Staten, or Amity, or Amsville, or anywhere else coming into Salem. And that's one of the things that made it attractive, I think, to the council, was that folks who use the Salem system will help support it in a small way, but they would become supportive. Right now, there are no taxes levied on coming into the city. We've got another one that I think will be very interesting and controversial. We'll have a discussion, and people will be able to comment on a proposal to again revisit having people camping on our downtown streets. And this ordinance will establish that during business hours, essentially during daytime hours, you can't camp on the public streets downtown, and we'll give the police the ability to push people toward areas where it's allowed. I mean, you can go sit in the park. You can go. It's called a sit lie ordinance often, but really it has to do with sort of building, setting up tents and sort of moving in front of somebody's business or blocking the streets. It will allow police to help people move along, to encourage them toward programs that'll help them out. It generally is aimed at homeless use of downtown. Mm-hmm. And that will draw, I think, a really emotional and spirited discussion.
Would that include people who are not necessarily setting up tents, but just sleeping on the park bench in a downtown sidewalk?
It's pretty much not asking you to keep moving, to not set up some sort of permanent presence down there. The penalty is you could be excluded from downtown except for programs. We have a pretty rich program for homeless folks here in town with a lot of uses available. And the one that we just are having a heck of a time abiding are people camping on the streets, along with it some really serious antisocial behavior, including public defecation and urination, garbage, vandalism.
I'd say those are antisocial behaviors.
Yeah, there's behaviors that you just can't abide, and it's particularly difficult for people who are trying to do business in the downtown. And that isn't just the business people. That's people who want to come downtown and use the downtown for what it's for, which is restaurants, music, businesses, shopping, visiting your doctor or your lawyer or mm-hmm. your accountant, all of those different needs. And we're trying to figure out a way to abide the largest segment of the community we can, including the homeless. And like I said, we have a real panoply of programs available. The Arches program has really enriched. We have public restrooms. Public showers. I mean, there are a lot of things available down there. So food is available. There's a lot of stories about what you have to go through to get a meal downtown. Nobody in Salem goes hungry voluntarily or involuntarily, rather.
Involuntarily. I have a question. How does this, when people complain or bring up civil rights for the campers, how is it any different from every other park that we see in the city of Salem that says no camping allowed? I mean, shouldn't it? I mean, you do it at parks already. You do it at the neighborhood parks. Yeah. You see it as you enter Minto Brown. You see it as Salem already does not allow camping in certain parts of Salem, namely the parks. So why can't they allow no camping in a downtown core?
That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's going to happen. And this is strongly endorsed by the police department. It's been worked on with a whole batch of stakeholders. This isn't coming out of the blue. This has been worked on over a past year by all kinds of folks involved in the issues to develop a variety of strategies, and one of them is that we're not going to have people camping on those downtown streets and setting up what essentially become permanent obstacles. Mm-hmm. And it'll be an interesting discussion.
It's an obstacle for me as a consumer.
Yeah.
And if I have to step over somebody and, kind of navigate around some sleeping bags and shopping carts to get into a shop, I'm probably not going to walk in.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And that's what we're finding. And I think just anecdotally, it is probably the most common complaint that I get from people in terms of email or being approached. We need to take care of this issue. So we're going to take another run at it and see if we can get a handle on it.
We're talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett. I brought this up on the air last week when we were at Marion County Fair. So I want to run this by you because what you said, you're getting complaints about.
Yeah.
Now, or comments about. And there's two different constituencies here that are probably reaching out to the mayor. There's a constituency about what the city can do for the homeless.
Yes.
And what can the city do with the homeless and people who don't want them there, want them to move along, don't like the unsightliness, unsanitary, the unsocial, antisocial behavior, and so forth, or the fear factor. So, are you getting messages from both of those constituents? Do you need to do something for those homeless people, or do you need to do something about these homeless people?
Both.
Okay.
Both, and we're responding to both. We have a whole, as I said, and I'd be, if you have time, if some time, we'll just go through everything we do relative to the homeless in this city. We house the hardest to house. We work with them. We strongly support the Arches program, the Union Gospel Mission, which is enlarging. We are, of course, very concerned that shelter space be available. What is interesting to me, it's sort of like, well, if they can't sleep there, where can they sleep? Well, we have shelters in this community, and those shelters go nightly with empty beds. Mm.
Really?
There are people making some really, really poor choices in their life. A lot of it, and I know people will argue with me, this is not a big economic issue. This really is a function of folks in dire circumstances due to drug abuse, mental health conditions. But when you boil it all down, what has happened to an awful lot of these folks is their support system, whether it's their family, their church, their neighborhood, whatever, have pretty much said, no, we're done with mm-hmm. dealing with you and your issues, and they don't have a place to stay anymore. But it's a collapse of their system. And the question becomes, at what point does government become an enabler of some of these behaviors that are so self-destructive? I mean, if you live on the streets here or anywhere else, your life expectancy reduces to just over 50 years. I mean, this is the question you got to ask yourself is, do you want to help people kill themselves in some cases? I have some fairly strong opinions on that. I'm not committed to supporting someone in a really downwardly spiraling life. I think our job is to help create the support system that lets them work their way, pray their way, think their way out of this, and find the kind of facilities necessary to do that, the kind of treatment, the kind of assistance. And I think Salem's doing a really good job and a balanced job on that. But at certain times, we can't let it get out of balance. Mm-hmm. We have to kind of keep a handle on it.
It will forever be a balance of trying to take care of everyone's needs. We got to get you to City Hall, so we'll let you go. One quick question, a quantity question. Could you remind us, or do you know, maybe you can come back, during the last homeless count, how many homeless people do we have living in the greater Salem area?
Boy, I was afraid you'd ask that
count?
Question. It's several thousand.
Several thousand.
And
I'm hearing that from a law enforcement official. I wanted to confirm.
Yeah, that's correct. Homelessness, though, is described in terms of housing stability. I was homeless when I came out of college because I was couch surfing with guys I knew that had apartments as I looked for an apartment. And if I was in the count, I would have been counted as homeless because my housing was unstable. Mm-hmm. The difference is I had a support system in place, so I had a couch to sleep on and I was moving forward. But I think a lot of us have been through that experience of kind of a where it's a really short-term solution to what is a difficult problem, which is where am I going to put my head down at night? One other thing I want to just mention very quickly is we'll be constituting what I announced in the State of the City, which is a resiliency task force. And I think as that, I hope, is reported by the local news media, we'll begin to show the kinds of things that we are getting ready for in case of a Cascadia event, wildfires, flooding, the kinds of programs that we are developing or have in place and the kind of partners we have around those issues, which I know trouble a lot of folks and sort of what's going on. And I had mentioned I want to spend a great deal of time, effort, and energy on getting a very strong resiliency plan in place that allows us to know when anything happens out of the ordinary to a broad group of our citizens that we have things in place and ready to go.
That sounds good. Well, let's dive into that again next week when you're back.
Great.
Thank All right. You. Hey, this is Brent DeHart for Dave Bourne, and we've been talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. We're going to take a break. Stay with us here on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. We thank them for their sponsorship. Hey, welcome back. This is Brent DeHart. We thank the mayor again for being here. Thank him for tolerating me with my strong words. Dave missed it, but he's heard it before, and he hears it during the breaks. Dave's back in the studio, working the panel, keeping us on track. You're listening to Newsmakers. This is the local talk for the Mid-Valley, and we have a couple more guests here to finish up our Tuesday, and a beautiful day it is to live in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Got a little rain a little bit ago, which was actually kind of nice. It was kind of nice. When you don't really want to go out and water your trees, it's like, oh, good. It's like we'll have one summer day here
Thanks
and there. Just,
nature.
You know. Has rained a little bit. Now it's spectacular. Mid-70s, kind of mild, but mid-70s all week, so it's pretty awesome. Speaking of awesome weather and getting out, we had Mary Louise here talking about all the events. I'm still carrying around all her printout of things to do in the month of July, and one of them is coming up this weekend. And we have in the studio with us Mike White and Troy Campbell, and we're going to talk about an event that involves one of my favorite topics is yummy food to eat,
okay.
Right?
Most definitely. Oh, yeah.
Mike, welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much for having us.
So you own Best Damn Barbecue Sauce.
I do.
You create the sauce.
Yes.
Wow. So did you have an old family recipe, or you just decide this is what I like, and you start throwing ingredients together?
Yeah. So what happened was is that literally one morning I opened up my fridge to put some hot barbecue sauce on my eggs in the morning, and I had 11 bottles of sauce open in my fridge, and I couldn't decide which one to put on. And I was kind of frustrated. I was just like, you know what? I need to have my own sauce. And so that's where it kind of started, and I started just playing with sauces from there, and here we are. We have Best Damn Barbecue Sauce.
That is awesome. So you created your own recipe. I remember doing this years ago, and I am – what you do, I am not good at, but I used to, you know, play around with it. And I never liked, there's a store-bought sauce, right? Mm-hmm. And there's scores of brands and all this thing. And I would take one of those, and then I just start doctoring it. Yep. I would never made them for scratch or anything, but I'm like, I'm going to finally chop some mushrooms because I like mushrooms in mine. I'm going to put some fresh garlic in instead of the garlic flavoring in this. But it was always just starting with a base and what have you. But
right.
You have your own product.
Yes, we do.
That is cool. Where, can I buy it?
Yes, you can. You can go to Ross right now and pick it up off the shelves.
Oh, all right. Best Damn Barbecue Sauce. Yeah. And just how many different varieties of it are there?
So we have five. We have our Sweet Lady Love, which took first place Mild Tomato in the largest barbecue sauce competition in the world.
Whoa, this is radio. You got to slow down.
Sorry.
I'm plugging your product right here.
Okay, so yeah.
Sweet Lady Love.
Sweet Lady Love. So we took first place Mild Tomato in the largest barbecue sauce competition in the world.
What?
In Kansas City this last year. Yeah.
Right here in our backyard.
Whoa. And so that put us on the map. And then we have our Hot Damn That's Hot, which we took a gold medal in Boston for the Sauskers Championship. And then we have Northwest Gold Rush, which is your Carolina-style mustard. We have West Coast Tang. It's kind of my favorite. I'm trying to put the West Coast on the map for barbecue sauce. So it's a great mix of balsamic vinegar, Worcester, black pepper. It's kind of like that steakhouse feel
I'm there.
To it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. There. That's mine. That's me all over.
And we have a Pineapple Express as well.
That dang it's hot one, I could tell you that I'm way too white for that. I don't want to be racist or anything, but I'm from Iowa.
Yeah.
And, WASP, if you heard that, they don't use WASP anymore, but I even like the picture of white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant.
Yeah, right.
I can't get away from it. I can only eat mild Mexican food, just way too gringo. Mm-hmm. So that one's off, but the West Coast Tang and some of those others.
That's
I think,
Sweet Lady Love.
I think that's one.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, so let's talk about your event, and then we'll talk to Troy.
Okay.
So you have an event this weekend that people can come to and eat.
Yeah, so
that's
the
one of my favorite topics.
Yeah, it's
right
the Northwest Barbecue Bacon, Beer, and Steak Festival.
Wow.
So we also call it the Bacon Championship because on Saturday there'll be a, you can do pork belly or regular bacon, and people can get samples of that, and it's going to be amazing.
Where is it being held?
It's going to be at Willow Lake Golf Center off 6020 Windsor Island Drive North in Kaiser.
Okay.
So we're shutting down that venue.
It's Willow Lake Golf Center. That's there's a driving range.
It's the driving range. Yep, so yep. Yeah. So new business owners there, Rich and Heather, but then excellent. They're looking to drive some traffic to their new business.
So it's this Saturday and Sunday.
Yes, it is.
And what hours?
So on Saturday, the gates open at 11. It goes from 11 to 8. And on Sunday, we have a car show that starts at 10. It goes from 10 to 2. And then we shut down at 6 o'clock on Sunday.
Cool. All right. So let's talk to Troy Campbell. We've got another guest here. And we're talking about, I was going to make fun of your name. Because could you fit in one more thing that everybody loves? Because you got barbecue, you got beer, and you got bacon.
Right, right.
All right.
And steak.
And steak.
Oh, and steak as well.
Yeah.
Steak as
steak
well,
and,
yeah.
Okay. Might as well throw in puppies in there. It's like, can't go. This sounds, is there beer? Oh, a bunch of people coming. Is there barbecue? Oh, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah.
And there's bacon. And everything's better with bacon. Troy Campbell, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So Troy's the owner of Uncle Troy's Barbecue.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes,
and you're
sir.
A competitor.
I am one of the competitors
this
weekend.
You got an entrance.
Yes.
You're going to bring some food.
I am going to bring some food.
All
some
right.
really good food.
Yeah,
stiff competition, though.
What's your signature?
My signature will probably be ribs and the mac and cheese. People are coming to find us for the mac and cheese these days.
Really?
Yeah.
So you have an establishment here in Kaiser, right?
So the beginning of this year is when I started the company, Uncle Troy's Barbecue, right here in Salem and Kaiser, and our official grand opening was actually this Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
We had a little pop-up right here next to Black Rock Coffee, where the old Kaiser Nursery was.
Yeah.
We were there this Sunday from 12 to 4, sold out. Amazing, amazing turnout from the city of Kaiser, so we're excited.
All right, folks, this is Troy Campbell. He's owner of Uncle Troy's Barbecue. Do you do catering? Do you do mobile? Do you have a storefront?
So right
How do
now, we,
eat
we,
your
are,
stuff?
We are completely mobile. We are all over Kaiser, Salem, Silverton area, wherever people are hungry. we want to try to be there to accommodate, but it's a mobile trailer right now, and we do a lot of the Salem community markets. We really enjoy the community markets, a lot of farmers markets, and so I just quit my job on Friday to go do barbecue full time.
How'd that go over?
It was amazing. Okay. It's amazing. No, supporting my wife and the family, that's what pushed me to do it, was follow my dream and 100 miles an hour. So, yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is, jumping off a cliff and taking a risk.
Yeah.
But it's also that entrepreneurship is what drove America to be so great as
that's
it is.
That's right. That's why we are where we are now. We should support small businesses, support your local businesses, support your local radio stations. That's what it's about.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I hope you get plugged into the small business community through your chamber and this and that, and you get a lot of support.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So
Thank
you're going to have your wares available.
Yes, sir.
So explain how the event works, Mike. Maybe you can tell us, I show up, do I pay to get in, and how much do I get to eat?
Yeah, so when you come in, there is an entry fee just to help us with the cost and whatnot. Uh-huh. And then you walk up to a booth and you get to decide how many barbecue tokens you want to buy, right?
Okay.
So the idea is that you're going to go around to all these 15 Pitmaster teams.
And 15?
There's 15
Troy,
teams
here's coming. One of 15.
And just
who's
one.
The judge? Are you the judge or are we
no,
all judging?
No, so we have a Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association, a judge coming, and we're also flying out a judge from Texas for the state competition as well.
Wow.
Right. So you go buy these tokens, $2.50 tokens, and then you go around to all the pitmasters and you give them a token. You say, hey, I want to taste your best bacon or whatever it is. And then so what happens is that you run out of tokens, you go buy more tokens, right? But then also each person's able to get a voting ticket. So you can vote for the best bacon. So it's people's choice. So we'll collect all those at the end of the day and we'll name our grand champion for the best bacon.
All right, so you're going to have a competition for the barbecue.
Right.
You have a competition for this bacon. Is the beer just to wash it all down?
Yeah, exactly.
Do we have to vote?
You got to have the
vote.
Beer, right.
We're going to vote with which ones we all have some of that.
Right. There you go.
Who sold the most beer? Not me deciding who the best beer in the house was. How fun. It's coming up this weekend. The weather's going to be great. It's going to be in Kaiser. How can we, the people who are listening right now and they're driving, but they want to look it up when they get home. Is there a website?
BaconChampionship.com.
BaconChampionship.com. How can you forget that?
Right.
BaconChampionship.com. So barbecue, bacon, beer, and steaks.
So that's a different category there. So this State Cookout Association is the fastest growing sport in the world right now. So it's an event where anyone in the community can sign up and grill their steak and have it sanctioned. First place goes to Texas for the World Championship with $1,000 in their pocket.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. There's some good eats. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and dive further into this food and drink here at your event. Hey, folks. Boy, I'm looking forward to this. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave in the studio. Mike White and Troy Campbell. Stick with us. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center, those fine folks helping your kids learn. Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. We have fun things to talk about here and fun guests here in the studio with us. I always like talking about things happening in the community. And you know, I especially like it when it intersects with some of our favorite things like entrepreneurism and people getting national acclaim for that live right here in the community, right? So speaking of which, we got Mike White. He's the owner of Best Damn Barbecue Sauce, and he's the event organizer for the event coming up this weekend in Kaiser, and it's the first ever, so we got to support him. You know, face it, if you like steak, you got to go. If you like beer, if you like barbecue, if you like bacon, you got to go because you want to see this more than once, right? So, right. Hey, Mike, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for
Tell us
this.
Again. Tell me again because it's been 5 minutes, so I've forgotten. You got a huge award for your barbecue sauce.
Yeah, so we got nationally ranked as America's number one mild tomato barbecue sauce.
Number one mild tomato
barbecue sauce. So there's five categories to barbecue sauce, so we got one of the blue ribbons.
Awesome. What are the other categories?
You got hot tomato, and then you have specialty, you have mustard, and then I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty fantastic. Do you have like a had to build a trophy case in your man cave just to house it now?
blue ribbon. So we go by ribbons.
Yeah.
We got ribbons.
Okay. That's great. Anyway, so.
Put it on your door.
Right.
So what is the first ingredient? A tomato?
Tomato paste, water. I mean, it has water down.
And
yeah.
Then you just go from there the way you like it.
Yeah, you got to create. You had to have your base, and then you add from there.
How many different ways are there to make barbecue sauce?
Oh man, there's so many. There's so many different barbecue sauces out there. I have a whole book on it.
Okay, so obviously
there's just different. There's just different cultures that make different types of barbecue sauce.
Each
right?
region
of
the
world,
country
or the world
of the world.
Yeah,
but for sure, the country. You have North Carolina has almost a vinegar base. Right. Texas has different sauce. Every state that does barbecue has a different sauce.
All right, that's Troy Campbell talking, weighing in here. That's good. Troy, because I was going to ask you about this. Because I see these things, and I eat them all, but I don't really stop to go, oh, what I like is the St. Louis style. And could you break us down for us? There's baby back ribs, and there's St. Louis style ribs, and there's beef ribs. And like you said, different areas of the country are renowned for preparing it a certain way.
So within the barbecue community in general, it's usually separated by what state you're from. So Texas is brisket, California is tri-tip, North Carolina is whole hog barbecue, you get St. Louis and things like that, they like pork ribs. And so it all comes down to where you're from and where's the first barbecue you've ever had. Huh. That's how it usually works out. The first barbecue you've ever had that you liked, that's your style of barbecue.
All right,
so
Troy.
It could be sauce, it could be no sauce. It's huge.
So what do the people in St. Louis do if they like those ribs, right? What do they do with the rest of the animal? They shipped out to other other territories like, oh, well, we don't do that.
They'll cook it up. They'll find something. They put it in stew. They'll find something to do with
throw it. In
nothing
mac
goes
and cheese.
To waste. They'll put it in the mac and cheese. I mean, there's a way to barbecue every part of the pig or cow or chicken or whatever it may be.
I know someone's bringing brisket mac and cheese this weekend.
Brisket mac and cheese. That's like the eighth deadly sin right there.
Right.
That's going to be ranked right
but
up there.
But what a way to go,
naughty.
Right?
Yeah.
So when we're talking barbecue, we're talking about a method of cooking, right?
Yes.
So this is also actually a regional thing. I remember my cousin was living in Texas years ago, and he, must have been early days of Facebook if it goes way, I don't know, it goes way back in my memory, but he was like, barbecue means something different to people in California than it does in Texas.
It does.
And then it's like a verb, and what they really mean is outdoor cooking. right? They really mean outdoor grilling, and it might be with the same gas that they're using inside the house, but they happen to be standing outside on their deck, and they call that, hey, we're barbecuing, but really that's just grilling, right? So barbecue is a style of cooking.
Barbecue is a style of cooking. Grilling is a little different.
And is it always involve smoking or not?
Traditionally, the technique of barbecuing would be smoking. Mm-hmm. So barbecue is the, I guess, the umbrella, and you can smoke it or you can like roast it, or, you know, that people do the rotisserie and things like that. But most of the time it's indirect heat is barbecue and grilling is direct heat. So burgers are grilled because you put them right over the fire and you cook them up. When barbecue, it's a much slower process because it's indirect heat at lower temperatures.
So this is Troy Campbell. He owns Uncle Troy's Barbecue, and you find him mobile around the community all over the place. And so we're picking on his brain to learn a little bit. We hear a lot about Traegers and things like that. Is there a piece of equipment that would set someone apart, one of your competitors apart than others? Is there a go-to when it comes to the 15 booths you're going to have at the event this weekend?
You'll see every kind of grilling apparatus possible. I can say that. If you're interested in ingenuity, or you're an engineer of some kind, or you're an architect of some kind, you'll see something out there that will catch your fancy, and you'll be like, that's interesting. So you'll see from Traegers to stick burners to everything.
Wow, cool. All right, so Mike White, back to you. Because you create barbecue sauce, aren't any of these competitors going to be using your sauce?
Yeah, we got a list of them, and we got Original Northwest Barbecue Team, Portly Pig, Bad Bones Barbecue, Fahrenheit 250, 503 Backyard Barbecue Team.
503 Backyard Barbecue Team.
That's a great name.
They're good. They're really good.
That's worth a $2.50 token.
Oh, yeah.
You might see me in line.
Yeah.
What about the car show?
So we have two different vendors coming that are bringing different cars. So we got a gentleman that has like about 6 cars themselves, and he has a bunch of buddies that are bringing, you know, about 20 cars total. And then we have Jeepsters coming out, and they're going to bring another 20 cars. So it's going to be really cool.
Fine. So let's go over what it costs again. We're talking about Northwest Barbecue.
It's the Northwest Barbecue Bacon, Beer, and Steak Festival. It's this Saturday and Sunday, July 20th and 21st. It's going to be held at the Willow Lake Golf Center here in Kaiser. There's going to be free parking. It's $8 online at baconchampionship.com, or you pay $10 at the door. Kids are free for 10 and under. When you walk in, you're going to probably be buying tokens at $2.50 for buying some samples.
All right, so it pays to get on their website and get it early. It pays you $2. That's $2 that you might be able to use to buy another token.
There we go.
Right? And you're definitely not going to leave hungry or thirsty.
No, yeah.
Okay, so you got a car show. Saturday, 11 to 8, Willow Lake is in the southwest part of town, folks. You can find it on Google, I'm sure, Willow Lake. Head on out to the Golf Center. And 10 to 6 on Sunday as well, but the cars are there 10 to 2.
10 to 2.
All right. Wow. That
I'll
is.
Be there Saturday.
Dave says he's going to be there. Oh, that's where KYKN's going to be there. So, of course, no entry fee and free tokens for all radio hosts, right? Mike White, Troy Campbell, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Have a great event. We hope you're successful and we do it again next year.
Yes.
This has been Newsmakers, folks, on KYKN 1430. Salem's listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.